Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
And welcome to a new episode of Digital Coffee, and I'm your host, Brett Deister. If you please subscribe to Digital Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music, leave a review. It really does help with the rankings, and let me know how I am doing. But this week, I'm going to be talking about Battlefield 2042, Call of Duty, Western Digital's new NVMe drive, Steam Deck, and a whole bunch more, including Intel and NVIDIA's new 3090 Ti that's not really quite out yet. We wonder why it's not quite out yet. So let's get on with the show. That's good. And first off is the Activision Blizzard and Microsoft acquisition going on with that. And yes, the FTC is taking a harder stance on what can actually go through as deals, as the NVIDIA ARM deal has been kaput. It's not actually going anymore. NVIDIA is trying to back out of it. But from the Microsoft Activision Blizzard standpoint, this isn't anything new. I know VGC basically said that this was unprecedented or against the norm for the FTC and the DOJ to actually investigate this, or at least to hand it off to the FTC. But the FTC is basically, that's what it is, about trade. This isn't anything unprecedented or out of the ordinary. This happens before. Just we have a new FTC chair that she says that we are going to rigorously go after tech companies to make sure that they aren't anti-competitive or monopolies or anything like that. She is saber rattling for the most part. I don't know if this will actually be good or bad thing with Microsoft, but from what I know, it's still, the deal is still going to go through because they're number three in acquisitions, even though my call for monopolies is still valid in the long-term sense. In the short term right now, it is not. They are nowhere near the top, or they're actually close to the top, so you're number three. But they are number three out of several other different companies as well. And as people of Twitter have pointed out, the Embracer Group owns a lot more developers, quite a few developers who I've never heard of for the most part. I've heard of some of them. But for the most part, I don't really see much of actual not having this go through. I just see a lot of saber rattling from the FTC to make sure that these tech companies know that they are watching them and that they will not be anti-competitive or whatever they see fit. Next up is the NVIDIA RTX 3090 Ti. Well, it looks like it's not coming out quite yet, even though we were supposed to get updates on it last month, since we are now in February. There has been no sign of it whatsoever. The worries are is that this is a little bit of an upgrade to the original 3090, which is not really what you want to hear, but this is where we're at. Plus, it's going to be about $4,000. So I don't really see this doing very well. And what gamer is going to actually buy a $4,000 card? I know inflation and everything. The original 3090 is $2,000, at least $2,000 less than the 3090 Ti, with minimal performance upticks. I'm pretty sure this is not going to be a card anybody's really going to be clamoring for. Pretty sure scalpers are going to try to scalp it and then figure out that nobody wants this one, because why would you spend $4,000 on a graphics card when you can get the original 3090 for half the price? It just doesn't make much sense. I don't understand the reasoning behind this. But this is where we're at, where it could come out. I hope it doesn't come out. But the problem is with the 3090 card is that they can't find enough of the high quality capacitors or chips to actually make this card. So we're having supply chain issues. Plus, it's going to be a really expensive card. Plus, what market is this for? The high end gamers? I just don't see this working out very well. And then moving on to NVIDIA and their new graphics cards as well, because they are supposedly supposed to come out later this year, and they are going to respectively be the 6950 XT, the 6850 XT, the 6750 XT, and these will still be on the same 7-nanometer processor. It's more going to be an uplift in performance-wise because of the 18 gigabytes per second memory. So we should see the 6950X be a better product than the 3090 Ti when it launches. Now, if it can undercut it and be cheaper than the 3090 Ti, which I don't think is going to be very hard, this could be the go-to graphics card at the moment until the 4000 and 7000 series graphics cards come out for both of them, which are expected for AMD to be about the same time or around the same time as NVIDIA. But for right now, all we have is that this could be for AMD the shining moment in the GPU lineup, because right now they really haven't had a win yet, and it's kind of sad they haven't had a win in the GPU lineup yet. They're getting better, they're just not quite there yet. And moving on to a curious, I guess, update or graphic or stat from Intel. Intel is basically saying that AMD has more bugs than they do for a certain extent, and that all the bugs from the GPU is coming from AMD. And so just blame AMD, blame AMD, blame AMD. It's a weird little flex on there, especially since, well, what does that really mean? I mean, bugs happen everywhere. Intel had some pretty bad bugs previously, so what's not to stop them from having even worse bugs than they even know right now? Second, I get what you're trying to do is you're trying to say that we have the better chip and maybe GPU than AMD, which to a certain extent is true and not at the same time. Intel, a lot of your chips require extremely high output and power, or get one of the CPU power blocks or whatever it is, the basically the power that powers your computer. It always needs more than it should, and it always takes more than it should. And that's always been my problem with Intel, especially with the new chipsets always require a new motherboard, which is a very annoying part too. But I just, they still lose out when you put total graphics and CPUs together. They still lose out to AMD. So do you guys have a bigger problem than they do? Like, I don't really understand this whole thing. This doesn't really look that great, especially when you put the total together. It looks like you have more problems than AMD does, which I guess, yay for the win. I mean, the only win that you actually have is in the CPU line, and your CPUs have finally become as good as AMD's right now. Previously, they weren't. So we'll see what the new CPUs do with AMD when they first come out. They could be good, they could be bad, but I'll report it regardless, because regardless, we're all gamers. We always want the best information, and that's what I will try to do for you. All right, moving on to the Steam Deck. And the Steam Deck is going to have NVIDIA FSR. It is basically the alternative to DLSS on a little handheld. Now, right now, it's going to be native, and even though there's not a lot of support for native FSR, it eventually will be capable of doing this with any game, as it will be baked in within the software of SteamOS. I like this because AMD always, when they come out with this type of programs, are usually for everybody, unlike NVIDIA, where it's not really for everybody. You have to get their specific thing to actually use it. This will help with performance wise, especially with using AMD CPUs. This will help with making performance as best you can be within a small form factor, because even though it's impressive what the Steam Deck can do, it's not as powerful as your desktop or PS5 or Xbox Series X or even your laptop for the certain extent, depending on what you buy. So it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to this when it comes out, which is later this month. Hopefully I will be able to get an actual email that I will be the first of the batch. If not, then I'll let you guys know. But like I said, I'm very excited to see what the Steam Deck can do. Apparently it's been high praise all around, which is always a good thing. But Steam does try to do its best to make really good software and hardware. Even if the software is a little clunky, it's still really, really good. All right, moving on to Western Digital and its new NVMe, the SN770. This is really smack dab in the middle between the SN750 and SN850. So basically, it is smack dab in the middle of those two, which basically means it should have basically modest performance within the PCIe 4.0 architecture, which could be a good thing. Also, could be it's cheaper than the 850, because 850 is not a cheap NVMe whatsoever. But usually, NVIDIA, especially the WD Black, usually makes pretty good hard drives, hardware, but mostly hard drives for your PC, so this should be good for those that want a good performance but not want to spend a ridiculous amount of money on it. I'm looking forward to the actual reviews and seeing if it actually lives up to the hype of being smack dab in the middle with good performance for the price. All right, moving on to Call of Duty, and Call of Duty is there for a new generation, as it's teased by NVIDIA Ward soon. So soon we'll be able to figure out what this new generation for Modern Warfare 2 is all about. What's the new Warzone going to be like? Is it going to be called Warzone 2? Or is there going to be a different type of monkey at the end? What weapons is it going to be? What new things are going to come about? What's going to be new in Warzone? What's going to be new in the multiplayer for Modern Warfare 2? This is probably the most excited I've been for Call of Duty since the original Modern Warfare Remastered came out in 2019, one of those. But regardless, anything else I haven't really been excited about. Call of Duty Cold War has not been that great, and also Vanguard have been it's been okay, hasn't been great either. It's just one of those things where Infinity Ward is back to its normal self, and people just want the Infinity Ward games again from Call of Duty because they are back to the top tier developer. Should be interesting to see what happens when Microsoft eventually acquires them. Will they stick with the once a year cycle of making Call of Duty games, or will they go back to more of a multi-year, since people want to play the heck out of your Call of Duty games? Why do you only give us a year to play the old ones? And then you go, well, we got a new one here, please buy this one now. I kind of wish it would be a few more years and then buy this one now, instead of 1 year. Okay, done, buy this now. We're not going to be supporting this anymore, and all the other fun stuff. But this is where we're at on it. So I'm modestly intrigued with what's going to be happening within Modern Warfare 2, the remastered version of it. All right, moving on to the EA earnings call that happened this week. And it was a very interesting, illuminating thing to listen to. It was less about Battlefield and more about every other game, specifically FIFA and Apex Legends, and how well it's doing than anything else. Apparently, Battlefield is only about 10% of their revenue stream, so it's not really that significant, even though they do put a lot of emphasis in that game. Second of all, they did say it was a disappointment. Let's get that right out of the gate. They gave no numbers on why it was a disappointment. They just said it was a quote-unquote disappointment. They do have faith in that DICE will bring it back from the brink, and that people will love it again, and they are not backing down from this whatsoever. It was curiously left off of any of the materials for the earnings call. I have two of them up here. They don't even mention Battlefield 2042 at all. In their expanding diversified portfolio of live services, they put Battlefield 5 on there, which they haven't supported for a few years now, but it's still up there for whatever reason, because it's not the hated game right now from Battlefield. That's 2042. And that will be like that for a while until the next game comes out, and then people will hate that one because that's what the community does. But it's weird that they don't mention it all in any of their collateral whatsoever. They try to basically not answer the question, but answer the question. It is something that it seems like they want to stop talking about it until it gets better, and then they can gush over the game again. But right now, nobody really wants to talk about it. They just want to let it go away for a bit so they can fix it, rework it, and then it'll be up to snuff to what actually Battlefield community, I guess, realistically wants, because a lot of the times they don't have realistic expectations But here's where we're at on that one. Also within the phone call is that Apex Legends Mobile is going to be a thing as well. So you can play it on mobile as well. Apex Legends is doing very well. FIFA is doing very well. And then on the call, they talked about NFTs a little bit. And the CEO was kind of like, yeah, it's something we're looking into, but we're not really going to be fully committed to. We're looking to see what gamers respond to. Basically, it is the complete opposite of what Ubisoft is trying to do. And Ubisoft's like, look at gamers. You just don't get it, okay? You don't get NFTs. We do. Buy it. Buy our NFTs. Get our NFTs because you just don't get it. And that's not the best message you should be saying to gamers. Don't insult your community. I mean, that's the number one fundamental thing. Don't insult their intelligence. Don't insult them. If you start insulting their intelligence, if you start insulting them, they will not like you for good reason. No one likes to get their intelligence insulted. So yes, this was a more diplomatic approach to it, was saying, hey, we're looking into it, but we have no plans for it whatsoever. That's more diplomatic for it. Also, most gamers don't like NFTs, and they're trying to ram it through most games. Voice actors are trying to ram it through, and we just don't want it. We're like, stop it. We don't want this. Just give us games, stop gimmicking us, and we'll be fine. But nope. Still try to do it, especially Ubisoft, which they're always pretty bad at that. Also, in the EA earnings call, Star Wars Squadron was actually mentioned, about 923 million ships destroyed, which is a weird number because they don't really talk about it at all, but they really wanted to highlight that because, once again, they don't want to highlight Battlefield 2042. So let's highlight a game that's sold well, but we don't really care about it to make a second one for it. But it sold well, and maybe we should look into actually making a second one. But we're not really looking at that because Respawn is handling all the Star Wars games, even though Squadrons sold well. Let me rephrase this. Squadrons did a good job. It was a fun game. Don't just scrap games because you're afraid you might be able to do it again because it was an off-of-the-wall idea, and those ideas sometimes work, sometimes don't, but this one wasn't that off the wall because in the 90s and early 2000s, Space Sim was a thing. Yay, you have Wing Commander, for gosh sakes. This isn't an off-the-wall idea. People are looking to play these types of games. You just can't figure out how to monetize it well enough, and so even though it did well critically, you don't think it has a long-term revenue stream for whatever the reason. But here's the thing about trends, is that someone has to start it first. You could be the one that starts like a flight sim type of battle royale or a flight sim type of deathmatch with skins, which you already kind of did in the first one, but just make it better, make it bigger a little bit, have some interesting new modes. That's all you really have to do. But alas, we probably won't get Star Wars Squadrons 2. It will just die. It will just die because it was good, but not good enough. Now moving on to my main thing I want to talk about is the whininess of the Battlefield community. Man, Twitter, you just don't let me down on just the ridiculousness of the Battlefield community, especially Reddit too. You guys do an amazing job about that. Here's my thing. I get it. You're upset. You're upset that Battlefield 2042 did not live up to your expectations. Completely fine. I'm not judging that whatsoever. What I am questioning is when you make assertions saying this isn't a quote-unquote Battlefield game. Well, yeah, it is, because it is called Battlefield 2042. It's just not what you were expecting from Battlefield 2042. Second of all, the other weird thing about what is the core mechanics of Battlefield. Well, I did kind of summarize that in a tweet, basically saying that, well, it's about basically teamwork. It's about class systems. It's about communication as well, which all things can be done even outside of the Battlefield ecosystem in general. But for the most part, if we look back all the way back to 1942, there wasn't a whole lot of things. It was just a complete and utter teamwork and team play. That's the specific thing. This isn't team deathmatch. This is capture points and kill enemies too. Capture points and revive people. Capture points or resupply them. Do things that help your team. Unfortunately, most people don't understand that and do the, I will not capture points. I will kill every single thing that goes my way. And then sometimes die too, but I will still kill things for the K/D ratio because that's all that matters because I love Call of Duty more than Battlefield. So why are we so whiny? I don't know. I've played Battlefield since the original Battlefield 1942. So I've played every single one. I think I even played Modern Combat on the consoles, which wasn't that great, by the way, too. But I've played every single one of these things. And here's what I noticed is that, yes, it has progressed over time. Yes, there's a lot of new quote-unquote core mechanics built into it. Fine. But the core of the core, I guess the best way of saying it, mechanics, is that basically of team play, communication, and class system. It's probably the three pillars. They basically are commingled with each other. Our class system's there. Yes, within the specialist, each specialist is in a specific class system. So the classes are still there, just not what you were imagining. Is teamwork there? Well, it's there. If you do it or not, it's up to you. Is there chat? Yes, there's chat. Can you chat to everybody? No, you can't because we all get salty and we all really want to rage. Is there VoIP? No, but who really used that? I mean, I've seen so many people whine about that thing, and I'm like, I've never used VoIP in a Battlefield game. I use Discord. Like, we have Discord. It's a thing. This isn't the early 2000s again. There still is TeamSpeak, but there's many other communication software that you could use within conjunction of the game. There's that. There's a scoreboard. It's not the scoreboard you want. Let me preface that. It's not the scoreboard you want, but it is a scoreboard nonetheless. Does it emphasize a little bit more of team play and teamwork? Yes. Could have been done a better job of it? Of course. Anything can be improved upon. But saying that there is no scoreboard is, well, false. And also, if you didn't like it, that's fine. The new scoreboard is going to be better than what it is, even though you still hate it. It's always funny to me. Every time, look, we got this new update. I hate it. It's like, okay, well, I don't want to work on updates anymore. I mean, that's kind of how the developers feel. I feel for them to a certain extent. Yes, did they mess up and did they become overconfident that this game was ready to launch? Hands down, yes. The performance on the CPU, GPU spectrum is weird. Even on my laptop, my CPU is more used than the GPU. The GPU is about half, and the CPU is usually around 90%, which is weird because it should be the opposite way, but I digress. So there are a few things that I do not like. There were times when I played on the laptop because I'm not in my actual house to play on my desktop, where I was flying a plane and the thing went to 8 frames per second. Yes, the plane did explode, crash to the ground and explode. Frustrating, of course. So I concede that part. Well, I didn't really concede a part, but yeah, that needs to be fixed. They certainly did rush this with problems of like beginning of the game where people can just either suicide their planes into you or they could use a mini bird and just go straight to you and kill a bunch of people. That needs to be adjusted. That either needs to be a time delay or they need to reposition the planes and the air vehicles where they aren't coming straight into you. That's one thing that they need to do. And I would delineate that meaning that transport ones are fine. Still put them in a different part of the map where you either facing sideways as turn around where you have time to react. But either way, that needs to be fixed. Bugs need to be fixed, obviously. Every Battlefield has had its bugs. The issue I have with this community right now is the whininess and the forgetfulness of every Battlefield game that's come out. Battlefield 3 came out. People were bitching about Battlefield 3 because it didn't have as much destruction as Battlefield Bad Company 2. Yes, that did happen. Do not say it did not happen. Battlefield 4 came out. Battlefield 4 was an atrocious game in the beginning that could barely run anything, and it took 2 years for this thing to actually get good again. But yes, it had all the content. Great. I can't play the game, so who cares? That was called Battlefield 3.5 because it came out so quickly after Battlefield 3. So what's the, I mean, when does the complaint never stopped in any Battlefield game that came out? Battlefield 1 came out. People didn't like it was in World War 1, and there were some issues with that. It had the best environment or immersiveness. I will grant you that one. But that one had its issues as well, especially if you were somebody on a horse. It was difficult in the beginning to kill you because you were almost like an armored tank on a horse, which is weird. But that has issues, especially with the attack planes and even them dropping their little, like, I guess, little grenade things. You kill a lot of people with that as well. But that had issues. Every one of them have had little bits of issues. Some have been better optimized than others, but none of them have been without its problems and controversy. Battlefield 5, because of their woke marketing, people didn't like that. It's weird seeing a one-armed woman or a woman with a prosthetic doing so well in combat. But I digress. Everything was terrible in the beginning, and then it got better. It's why Andrew Wilson, the CEO of EA, kept on saying that DICE does this time and time again. And I'm like, you're right. DICE does this time and time again. They come out with a game. It's a little short-sighted. They fix it. It becomes a great game to the community because the community likes to be in this weird cycle of insanity that they don't understand. Stop buying a game if you know the developer has a track record of making broken games in the beginning. Wait 2 years then. Why am I seeing so much bitching? Like, do you have nothing better else in your life to do than bitch? Work on something. Do something creative. Create your own Battlefield game. Mod something. Go outside. Walk a dog. I don't care. But seriously, it needs to stop. It's getting so ridiculous that I saw one tweet today that said that they should have full refunds for everybody. And I'm like, this is a business. They're not going to do that. Are you insane? It's funny. Because we're so butthurt about by this. Even though they at least have to give you 4 seasons, there's better than that. And also, the best one is they should stop working on this game and go back to Battlefield 5, which originally people hated because the time to kill was bad. It was hard to see things. It's still hard to see people in that game. Also, the crouching or the proning and the proning turning the back, it's hard to figure out if they're alive or not. So there was issues in that in general. So once again, where does this all end? Every time a new Battlefield game comes out, everybody's like, well, we should go back to the old one because that one's better. I'm like, no, it wasn't. You bitched about that the first time. Stop. If you don't enjoy it, don't play it. Wait. I mean, No Man's Sky was awful in the beginning, and now it's one of the best space sim games or best games to turn around in recent memory because the developer stopped communicating for 6 months and just worked on the game. I think that's almost what DICE needs to do. Be like, oh, we're going to send out information, which are fixes, and that's all you're going to get. Because you're not going to win this battle. In the mindset of these people, you're terrible. You've already lost the argument, even though there was really no argument to be had. And it's not really a Battlefield game. I want my Battlefield game, whatever my expectations are. I need it. I need it now. So please, please, Battlefield community, let's be consistent. Every Battlefield game that comes out is broken in the beginning. That's a fact. It is not speculation. It is a fact. So let's just, if you cannot handle, I guess, beta versions of the game first, then don't buy it early. Buy it later. And then you'll be happier. I'm happy regardless, but you'll be happier. You probably won't because you'll still bitch about it because everybody else is bitching about it. Let's stop. Let's just breathe and go play something else. There's tons of games out there. Play Clownfield 2042 if you need to. Which is pretty funny, by the way. Or Battle Bits Remastered, which is actually pretty cool. also, but I mean, there's plenty, or play World War III or Call of Duty or Planetside. Planetside's pretty good as well. Planetside 2. But let's all get back to just being non-angry. Do you agree or disagree with me? Let me know in the comments below. I'd love to hear from you. I don't really care if you disagree with me or not. Let's have a discussion. I'm fine with discussions. Anyways, thank you for listening to Digital Coffee. As always, please subscribe to Digital Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. We review. Let us help with the rankings. Let us know how we're doing. Join me next week as I go through what is going on in the PC gaming industry. All right, guys, stay safe. Play a game that makes you happy. And see you next week. Later.
The LASIK Vision Institute offers free virtual consultations, so you can get all your questions answered from the comforts of home. Questions like, is LASIK affordable? Right now at the LASIK Vision Institute, get 20% off LASIK in May. That can be over $900 off when treating both eyes, plus financing. So visit MyLVIOffer.com. Must mention this promotion and be treated in May of 2022 to qualify. 20% off standard price procedure. Cannot be combined with any other offers. Go to MyLVIOffer.com for details.